Well, today we're at Iowa Soybean Association headquarters in Ankeny, Iowa. We're going to talk with Roger Wolf, Director of Environmental Programs and Services with the Iowa Soybean Association. And we've been visiting here, Roger, about some of the projects that you've been working on here in 2018. I know you've been working in this area of environmental projects for quite some time now. And talk about some of the latest things you're working on.
Yeah, thanks, Ken. Glad to be here today. We've been doing a variety of things. I've been working on this issue for 30 years, 18 years here at Iowa Soybean, and this is pretty exciting. Today we have actually 11 staff working across the state directly with farmers. And a few of the things that are currently going on, we like to say that we're data-driven, and we're relevant to the farmers and their unique geographic setting. And what I mean by that is we try to recognize that the landscape's variable, and so watershed approaches have been a big feature of our work most recently. We're writing watershed plans with groups of farmers within their setting. So last year we had three completed watershed plans, and then we have four on the books this year. We're working hard. Some of these exist up over in the Middle Cedar above Cedar Rapids. We're working on one in northeast Iowa up by Elkader and in that area. And then we're doing some work historically we've always worked in the Raccoon, but we're doing some work in the Raccoon watershed as well, which eventually drains to the city of Des Moines, and we're all familiar with that.
And you're getting more work done with communities as well, it sounds like.
Yeah, traditionally, and I think we're pretty good at writing these plans, have excellent staff and involving the farmers, and usually historically we would just do that in the rural setting. Today we really connect with those downstream stakeholders, and in the case of three cities, we had Charles City, Eagle Grove, and the city of Des Moines. We're working with those folks. They're, in some cases, upgrading their wastewater treatment plants. And we're fortunate because we can connect the rural watershed with the downstream water project. And the state of Iowa was able to give an interest rate reduction on their loan that they would get to the wastewater treatment plant upgrade. And that savings was then captured to help the farmers and implement their watershed plans. So that's very innovative, and we brought an additional $3 million to help these farmers implement these watershed plans, and we're just getting started with that implementation here in the next year or so.
Okay, you mentioned the ongoing work you have with tile water monitoring and working with farmers and providing feedback to them. So give us an update there.
Yeah, tile water, of course, tile's very important to making Iowa farms productive. And we have about 430 sites across the state. This is really the third year that we've had intensive tile water monitoring. We know this can be kind of sensitive data, so we ensure data confidentiality, but this is unique data because it gives farmers direct feedback on what the nutrient levels are leaving their farm fields. And some farmers find that they're in pretty good shape. Other farmers find that there's an opportunity to improve, whether that's their nutrient management, their tillage, or cover crops or other practices that would hold some of those nutrients back in the field. The other interesting thing, once we have that tile data, we give the reports to the farmers, but we also mine that data aggregately, and we really start learning some insights about, you know, what do we learn from different regions in Iowa, how is the tile water discharge changing, but probably most importantly, you know, we can identify sites where edge of field practices like bioreactors or saturated buffers or shallow wetlands could really come into play, and farmers that are losing a lot of nutrients out of their tile, those are good candidates for some of those edge of field practices.
And of course, as we discussed, farmers don't want to waste those nutrients, and in some cases they can look at changing management practices to maybe stop some of that.
Yeah, and farmers first think about what impact does it have on yield, and we want those soils to be strong. We want to retain the nutrients that they pay for in their field, leave them in the field for the crop. And we know some farmers are making that system work. And then having the ability to really go in and understand the dynamics is really important because, in some ways we read about, all farmers need to do X, Y, Z. Well, not every farm is different, and you have to kind of look at the system. And so the information helps guide that.
And you mentioned, too, there's a few farmers, some projects in the state where they're actually storing some of that drainage water and are looking to reuse it for irrigation later on.
You know, that's really the cutting edge in Iowa. And, of course, we know out in Nebraska where they're water limited, irrigation systems really are that's what produces the crop. And we know either you have too much or too little water in Iowa, and the weather can cause those situations. Farmers have no chance, they have no choice but to deal with that. But yes, now we're looking at how do we manage the water differently, and if we can capture it, store it in the landscape, and then put it back on the crops when the crop might need it. Like in August, if we could put 2 or 3 inches of water on a soybean crop, you're going to get a yield response. So having an economic way to make that system work, pretty interesting. And there are a handful of farmers in Iowa that have done this. I think yield potentials, we had a presentation at our research conference last spring. You're really digging in, how do we up that yield potential? And water management is a key part of that. And so pretty exciting. We're going to be hearing more about that. There's some research projects that have been funded. I know US EPA has given Department of Ag a pretty sizable grant, and we're going to be supporting some projects with that money.
And, of course, you've got the nutrient reduction strategy in place and the goal there the state is striving for. We talked about extreme weather conditions, and, of course, you have absolutely no control over that. And the importance of measuring, which you're doing. But I always ask the question, are you seeing progress?
Well, this year we celebrate the fifth year, and so the strategy is pretty young relative to the scope and scale of the challenge as well as how long it's going to take. And so you're absolutely right. The truth is the farming systems we have are complicated. We grow, and certainly we have less small grains and crop rotations than we used to have many years ago. So that has an impact. And then you have these extreme weather events, either too much or too little rain. So either we're storing nutrients in the landscape, but then when it rains, we're sloshing them out of the landscape. And so we're battling. We're in the fight to deal with that, but it's difficult. And then the reality is these practices cost money. You can't deny that there isn't going to be needed funding to deal with these changes. They're really audacious goals that we've put in front of us. So figuring out how to pay for these things. Is part of the challenge as well. The good news is we have tools, we have technologies, we have tremendous alignment today, research community, agencies, ag groups, farmers are enthused when we go out and we work with them. That's all good news. Can we go fast enough? That's still yet to be determined. But like I say, we're in the fight. We're pretty young yet in the strategy, so I'm optimistic, but it is complicated.
Yeah, and as you mentioned too, this whole issue with water, I mean, water's vital to everybody, of course. The whole issue of drinking water, I mean, this is a national issue that's getting a lot more attention.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, we're seeing some of our drinking water systems being challenged to meet the Safe Drinking Water Act requirement. Here in Iowa, we have a new source water collaborative. Again, all these groups aligned, trying to help these drinking water related issues in communities and go in and work and target practices. But nationally, you're hearing about Toledo, for example, on the Great Lakes and the issues with cyanobacteria and the dissolved phosphorus. very big challenge over in Ohio, and farmers and folks are dealing with that. Mississippi River is going to continue to be an issue, but you know, so all these issues combined, you know, we can't look at them in isolation. All these systems are connected. So the good news, Iowa is a national leader, and I like to call it the One Water Management Movement, the One Water Approach, and this is kind of a new way of bringing these communities together and working collaboratively to try to make a change.